God damn it.
Balls deep.
Is this
in what?
See, that's
finish
where
the, that sentence.
No, I am not finishing that story.
Are we starting with Gargamel. The aristocrats? Where are we going here? We've never done an aristocrats episode.
Arr, it's driving me nuts.
This isn't the day. This
No, now is not
this
the
is
hour.
Not that day.
This is not the hour when we draw swords. No.
See, that's already perfect for it, drawing swords.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get there.
Cross the streams.
Exactly.
Nay.
All Nay. About innuendo. Hi, well, everyone. I'm Darth Zero.
I'm Darth Cogentes.
Darth Rictus, and welcome to the Darkstream Podcast. So, out of curiosity, what was the phrase? You said it so eloquently upstairs for Iowa and not having tournaments.
Oh.
They gave us no tournaments.
They gave us no tournaments. We gave them no quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, the old raiding party methodology. God, that should have been our motto. What a life.
It kind of was.
It was. We just never had an official.
We could have had t-shirts, though.
Yeah.
And that was the
era.
There
weren't that many t-shirts in that era.
Yes, there were.
Not like now.
Okay, but they were definitely a thing back then. It's just, it was cooler.
Now it's easy to get those shirts. Back then, it was a process. You know? Like, you had to get after it a little bit. Now you can just do like 5 clicks.
Those are the days of barnacles.
Right. Like, now you just have 5 clicks and you got your shirt.
The barnacle days.
Oh, man. Do people know what barns are? Is that even a
thing?
No,
I think barnacles are gone now. I think
no, because you need tech to have barnacles.
Yeah, I think that
and
would just
there
be...
there isn't tech anymore.
Kind of, wouldn't that be just a subscriber now?
Is this a barn?
Well, barnacles were people who were hangers-on to particular people's styles and play. They always watched what they did. They mimicked their things. They learned from them. It was directly trying to do that because there wasn't the means of subscribe to this and here's me
mostly
explaining all my
tech. They were getting deck lists, though.
Yeah, it was mostly deck lists. But doesn't that kind of what it translated into? It's changed, but isn't that kind of just what it morphed into?
But there used to be tech back then because there wasn't, you know, an app that everybody got on and figured out the format lickety-split. So, I mean, as y'all were letting me know, the Sorintel was tech.
Yeah.
But, like, that's an example. I can't think of an example other than that. Fuck, in the last 10 years that was actually good. There were some decks that showed up to events and kind of made a splash during the early rounds and then just sort of got rolled.
I'll give you one from last year. Player of the Year Simon Nielsen did it twice. The first one was Domain with Invasion of Zendikar. Nobody had been running that before. He took down the... I don't know if he took down the Pro Tour, but he top 8'd. And right now, he's on like a Tiger Woods fucking run in Magic. I think he's got, out of the last 5 Pro Tours, 4 top 8s. Like, it's been fun to watch. There's, like, he got Player of the Year, and I couldn't agree more. He absolutely was the Player of the Year.
That's where your tech comes in, though. It's the preparation for large events because you can use a predictive model of a field, and it's accurate. That doesn't exist outside of it anymore.
When that tech is only emerging at the highest levels of play, how are you supposed to have barnacles?
Yeah,
because that was part of the idea, is, like, there was tech on the local level.
There was trickle-down tech.
Right.
Now there's no trickle-down tech.
Actually, I think I remember the last time tech was huge. Yes.
Those who had barnacles often were barnacles.
Yes.
The last big tech was Eldrazi Winter, because the people who knew were given the Eldrazi Winter list to hit the PTQs on day one of the Pro Tour so everyone could cakewalk through the events. And it happened. That's what everyone who went to one of the PTQs, and they spread out for all of them on the first day of the Pro Tour, won with Eldrazi decks because... there's nothing even remotely close to doing what that was doing.
My favorite was I had like a year there where I had barnacles, quote unquote, but only because they were scared to ask you for the list, Zero. They're like, I don't think he'd give them to me, will you? And I'm like, sure, I don't care. He doesn't either, but sure. Oh man, that was great.
Attached to me whole.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. It was
I could
wild.
Have had barnacles?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, you could have, but
you could have had barnacles.
But you were unapproachable by the barns. They looked at you as if you were too far, like too good.
I would have totally been like, come minions, come here. And I would have tasked them with things.
I know. They didn't realize that you were that way. They thought you were too aloof for them.
Damn it.
Your elitism got in the way of having all the barns.
An elite? Oh. I talked to everyone.
Well, you weren't exuding the frat energy of Rictus.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Exactly. I was out there chain smoking and doing push-ups.
It's the energy that says like, oh yeah, you can be involved, but it'll be degrading.
I used that for all aspects of my personal life back then. It was wonderful.
I remember those days. You'd go do push-ups and I'd go sit on your back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you'd whine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Those were some good. There's still video. Yeah, Schrode still sends me the video about once every year on my birthday. Just right. Remember this PTQ? Me just
you
doing
made another
push-ups.
Player. Do 10 push-ups. Yeah. I point out three more players and you're like,
Oh yeah, that was it. It was every player is like 10 push-ups, yep. And there were so many players. And I didn't get shredded. I just got tired.
Well, because you'd have to play a lot more Magic for that to shred.
If I had to do that, like with the way I play contemporarily, I wouldn't get through a game. I fuck up so much. I don't even care.
I punish myself when I lose a round and I get up and I'll do push-ups, but it's just like so I don't immediately start the next one. So I pause for a second and don't just crack out.
Maybe that's what I'll throw in the Discord for the Rebellion, you know, like just got to do 10 push-ups after every play error that's spotted.
Do more than 10 push-ups. Make it be like full form diamond plank push-ups. Like really make people start to recognize that, ow, it
they
hurts.
Won't do it.
I was like, how many MTG players do you know that can do one of those?
I would figure a lot.
Half, maybe. Half, maybe.
They're push-ups.
They're diamond push-ups.
Fewer still of the ones that take the game seriously.
Also that.
Now that might be a thing.
And I mean, given the 5 set symbols in the latest set.
I mean,
it's hard to take it seriously.
I'm thinking about like when I was in kind of the first half-ish of college.
Yeah.
And I'd be killing some time at the game store in the evenings before like the party scene really kicked off.
Oh, yeah.
And there would be, you know, these high school age Magic players coming in.
Okay.
That would be a great group to assign push-ups to.
100%. Yes. Yes. They still have all the energy in the world.
And it would have been, yeah, it would have been a good mix too, because like they wanted to barn so hard, but they also wanted like attention and approval, which was obnoxious.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish I had thought to like agree to show them things as long as they do 10 push-ups per player, because that would have like one, gotten them out of my face a lot, and two, tuckered them out.
Yeah.
Oh, if when people came up with
and
their
three
decks,
probably made them better players
after drafts, right. When they came up to you to. Here, check out my draft. And it's like, sure, glad to go through this. But then how so many people just like, can you rebuild it? It's like, sure. But if you got to charge them like, do 20 push-ups right now and I will show you what after every game one you need to, you know, rebuild your deck into. Because yeah. That was such a common tactic.
Oh, it's still used.
Is it still?
Yeah, I still get requests on the Discord where they send me a list like, hey, fix it. And I'm like, oh my God, no, I do not have time for it. But you're right. If I start instituting push-up rules, I think that does a nice job of dealing with that.
I would institute another push-up rule as well. This would be for the circumstance where somebody shows me their constructed deck because they want my feedback. And then I look at it and it's a pile of shit.
Sure.
And I begin to explain why it's not competitive, but they just disagree with me and move on.
Yeah.
So I wish I'd had a rule like, okay, if you show me your constructed deck and I give you criticism and you don't take any of my advice.
Sure.
50 push-ups.
Nice.
My time wasted, your time wasted.
You don't want to do the push-ups? That's cool. I just won't speak to you again.
So many times, yeah, motherfuckers would come up to me with like 72 card elf decks with, you know, that's not right. No matter what's in it, it's not right.
Right.
You know, and I just like, well, for one, we got to take it. But I really like this and I really like that and it's good in this and it's good in that. And like,
that's great, but you don't get to be competitive.
Why'd you fucking ask me?
I mean, if you
just want me to pat you on the head and be like, you're the smartest person in the room. Good job.
I guess if you want to play Magic for the feels, Commander's great for that, right? Like if you want to just play with your favorite cards and play it for the feels.
Any format's great for that.
Sure.
But if you're playing competitively in any of those formats, that's where things can shift.
Right.
Even if you're not, I just generally don't enjoy it when somebody asks for my advice, takes up my time, and then immediately ignores my advice.
Yeah. Yeah. In any medium, even outside Magic,
yeah,
that's
no matter
frustrating.
What it is. No matter what it is.
Yeah, it's like when the boomers ask you to teach them how to use things like PDFs and then they immediately argue with you about how to do it.
It's almost like when the boomers are at a restaurant and then, you know, like they'll ask a million questions about the menu and then just order a hamburger anyway.
Yes. I've had that happen so many times in my life.
Like the same fucking cheeseburger they get no matter where they go. But before that, we got to ask about the salmon salad and, you know, like the fucking Greek feta flatbread and all this shit going on. Like, anyway, you have specials? Let me hear about that too.
They need to demonstrate that they can say the word feta. Or
no, it's just about controlling everyone's time.
I really think it is. I think it's just about controlling time and attention and centering oneself in every moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I think they just needed TikTok. They needed a place to let that all out. Oh, well. They apparently had children instead. And we were all captive to those dinners and lunches.
That's okay. That everyone, all the youth of today, I learned some new terms this week. Have y'all ever heard of sink or dink as a relationship term?
What?
No. What's that?
So, sink and dink, single income, no kids, dink, dual income, no kids. It's a type of relationship you want.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How is single income, no kids a relationship?
You're in a relationship with someone, you don't want to share your incomes.
Oh, I see.
Whereas dink, you specifically want to share your incomes, but that's, you don't want kids, you don't want that, but you're like, but we both utilize our incomes.
Okay, I've heard the dink terminology before because that was used
in... Mink is then multi-partner, but you know, that's...
Holy crap, yeah, whole different game. No, dink was used in a TV show like 10 years ago when they were explaining why they wanted to get the gay individuals to like market to them because dual income, no kids is common for the gay couples. They're like, that's the wealthiest segment. We have to market to them. That's where all the money is.
I just never heard the term until I found across it because apparently it's commonly said on TikTok as people are describing things. I'm like, oh, that's just nifty.
I mean, TikTok taught me that a situationship is a thing. I didn't know what that was until last year.
Situationships.
You've had many of them.
I know. Yeah, okay. I didn't know that's what they were. I thought they were just bad relationships.
No, you got to remember, situationships is also a broader description that seems to have a negative connotation because people don't want to accept that people can have multi-partner relationships.
I think the situationship emerges probably most commonly when one person's like, yeah, I don't want to put a label on it though. And then they go on and just act like they're dating.
Yeah. I mean, most of the situationships I've ever been in have basically been, okay, we really just want to fuck a lot and we don't want to worry about diseases and kids and all this other shit. But also I don't like you enough to want to like really date you and try and see a future. So I see about a year before, like a year goes by and then the honeymoon period wears off and you're like, God, I don't even like you. And that's the end of the situation.
No, that wouldn't be a situation. The situationship is...
Yeah, that's just dating.
Yeah, if you decided, if you kept stringing them along, that would be a situationship because you've created a situation that they think they're in a relationship and you do whatever the hell you want.
Or it's ambiguous. You know, yeah. Like somebody has feelings and the other ones just kind of string them along for convenience.
We're dating, right?
Sure.
What do you think?
Oh, I was nicer than that. I at least said sure.
Oh, so you just lied. See, yeah. So you didn't have a situation. You were just lying.
Well, it's a situationship.
No, see, nope. That's not.
Just lying.
That's just lying. No, the situationship is like, so can we make it official? And then the other one's like, you know, I'm really focusing on my career right now.
But let's keep us kind of apart, but when we're together.
You know, like, yeah, I'm just not ready for a big commitment, but I like you so much. And like, what we've got is good, you know? And like, that person's like, and it's never going to go anywhere. And the other person's like, but maybe it will.
I think
or they know it won't, but they just don't have the self-esteem to break it off.
A situationship might also involve simping. There might be some good overlap in
there
that.
Almost has to be. There almost has to be because it's like there's, unless it's two people that are just completely ambivalent, which happens.
It does. Not often though.
Typically it's like one who's, you know, the chaser and one who's the runner.
Mm-hmm. What a way to put it. I love it.
Two people who don't care, though, frequently fall more under like a friend with benefits type of thing or a business relationship with benefits.
Business relationship with benefits.
Yeah, that's pretty common amongst people who travel a lot because they run into each other occasionally in cities. They're like, oh, you happen to be here? I do too. We bang.
Thought we just called those camp friends, but fair enough.
Camp friend.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. That's...
Yeah, you're just meeting up once in a blue moon.
But I think camp's pretty much dead. Like, who goes to camp nowadays?
I don't know.
Are there even camps anymore in the old school sense?
Yeah, but not the old school. Like, now all the camps are... Like
Jesus camps?
Yeah.
Okay, like, there's that, but there's a lot of sports ones, but they're, like, ultra competitive, and you're paying, like, a G to put your kid in there for a week.
Those are also basically Jesus camps.
I'm talking, like... sports ones?
I'm talking, like the hyper camp where you go for, like, 2 weeks in the summer and just, you know, you do fun shit.
No, I think all the parents got scared of those. I think that died with us realizing that predators exist. Or it was like, nah, we're not putting our kids in that.
They were like the most unrisk-worthy things. Like, it was just so simple.
Well, I kind of think about, like, you know, when I was a little kid, like elementary school, like fucking third grade, I could just get on my bike and ride like 2 miles across town. You know, no cell phones. If I'm just missing, I'm just missing.
Yep.
Right.
And I could do that every day to hang out with my friends and then ride back before, you know, it got to a certain amount of dark out, and that was just, you know, whatever. But kids the same age, I'll see pretty commonly, like when I'm walking downtown in Iowa City and there's like in the Ped Mall, there's that play area.
Sure.
And like, I get it's in the Ped Mall and there's other shit going around, but it's like per kid playing, there's at least one adult watching them the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. The awareness of kids going missing went up, and then people got real worried, as they should.
Not the awareness of the hype of it and the helicopter parenting increased.
Fair. Fair.
Like, shit, I was a latchkey kid when I was little. You know, it's like, yeah.
So was I.
You know, yep, I'm out of school. I'm going to go home. I've got a key if the house is even unlocked, or I'm going to go somewhere else and I'll see my parents like around dinner time.
Yeah, that was me in the summer. I mean, during the school year, I had so many sports, I just didn't even get home till dinner time. And then it was bedtime after that, if not homework. But yeah, summertime was get the fuck out of the house. We'll see you for lunch, maybe.
Yeah, but that's not how it is anymore.
Not in many communities. I've seen a few where they still have that. But for the most part, you're right. The community aspect seems to have gone downhill quickly.
There's a lot of these kids, they don't get like an inkling of independence until they're upperclassmen in high school, practically.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, their first inkling of independence is a permit to drive, which isn't great, but is what it is.
Yeah, those idiots have to start sometime.
What's your first sense of freedom? A machine that can kill others readily and yourself.
But it is a portable fuck palace.
And also, if you're really good at it, you can totally get away with being on your cell phone the whole time.
Yeah. Just remember, you haven't had fun in your car until you've had sex and one of you realizes there's an old McDonald's wrapper stuck to one of you. Because anyone who's had sex in the car has had something of that sort occur to them. Could have been a Reese's peanut butter cup wrapper, could have been a candy bar. Something got stuck to one of you.
Or you could do like I did and clean your fucking car.
Or you can do what I did, and it just sprays everywhere at the end, and then you lie about the smell.
The opposite of clean the car.
Yeah.
Make it worse.
Make it way worse, and then lie about the smell. Yes.
Had sex in other people's cars. That seemed easier.
That's probably easier.
Break into them just a bone.
Have you not had sex in a random car at a party because it was unlocked?
I mean, you know, if you do, you got to leave a note about like Dirty Mike and the boys, I guess.
You really do. You got to rep. You got to rep.
I know that back. That would have been funny. This was more of like it's a party. It's a house party. The rooms are all taken. There's cars here. People don't lock their cars. This is the 90s.
You can't stop us. We will have sex in your car again.
I've had sex on a roof.
You have, yes. God.
I knew someone who had sex on a trampoline one time.
That sounds interesting.
Here's the official.
Do you double bounce?
Here's the official report. Don't do it when you're drunk because you will hurt yourself.
Oh yeah, if you bounce too hard, oof.
No. When you do, it will inevitably occur.
Yeah. The pull out and then bone jam.
Oof.
Yeah, just oof. You do not have
high velocity bone jam.
Those hurt so bad.
Sex on a trampoline is just not what to do.
Yeah, I mean, jamming your finger like sucks, but jamming your dick sucks way worse. Oh, it's so painful.
You ever seen those things of what a snapped penis looks like?
No.
I never want to.
No, I don't want to even a little. No. Why?
Because it's just like a spongy thing that kind of breaks and it can form angles and permanently be stuck that way.
I'm uncomfortable even talking about it.
Yeah, I figured it was. I thought you'd enjoy that. There you go.
Somewhere out there, someone's got a dick going like 90 degrees.
That is a thing. I forgot the name of it now. Shoot. I used to know this because it was so funny.
The Pythagorean's penis.
Pythagoras cock.
Yeah. We actually, the length is now the hypotenuse.
There's quite a number of men out there who broke their penis because of a too wild of a cowboy ride.
Also, the natural curvature that can occur with some dicks can continue to curve as you get older for some people.
That's that. Yeah, that's actually a genetic thing.
It is. It is. I found out all about it when K3PO went through the urology.
Yeah, but they've got like surgeries and pills and stuff for that now. Modern technology is helping people have straighter-ish cocks.
Where they just like lay it down on a board and bust out the iron and get to it.
They actually do something with kind of like stints. Breaking your penis to remold it, kind of thing. Like, yeah,
splint it the fuck up.
I think that's how it works.
Anesthesia and a hammer. Let's get there.
I've heard of more extreme bottom surgery, I guess.
Look, I've seen the Pain Olympics. I'm not happy that I've seen it, but I've seen it.
I feel you. I feel you. I watched it with an innocent mind. I didn't exit with one.
You had an innocent mind?
I did.
Saw it and I'm so
happy.
How
old were you, eight?
No, I mean, like, I was an adult, but I didn't know what that meant. You know what I mean? Like, Pain Olympics, I thought was just going to be something kind of interesting.
You were just unknowing about the Pain Olympics is about bodily disfigurement and pain.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that's what that was. I just figured, like, maybe somebody slaps somebody too hard or some shit, and then I watched that.
No, like when the person puts the Roman candle up their ass and lights it.
Yeah, no, I saw them. I saw all sorts of wild shit.
Not that they balanced it out to shoot out of their ass. I mean that it was shooting into their ass.
I just knew better because I heard the name of it, and I'm like, that sounds so much like Faces of Death.
And you weren't wrong.
You know, like...
Season one.
Faces of Death, bum fights, Pain Olympics. Like, I know what the fuck this is going to be. Some shit I don't want to see. Yep. Just like if anybody like has a little smirk and they want to show you a video online that's got a goofy name.
Back in the day, that was the death knell. You knew not to do it.
Right. Like, I have no idea. And I still don't even want to know whatever Blue Waffle is. I just heard the name. I'm like, no. No.
That name's way too innocent for people to be laughing that hard.
No, no, no. That's some two girls, one cup shit. I can fucking smell it from here.
Yeah. God, what an era.
Two girls, one eel. Yeah, that was a thing.
Two girls, one eel. I didn't know about that one. All right.
If there's anything you can think of existed, and it has since the internet. It's like, yeah, of course there's this. Again, you can look up pterodactyl porn and there's people dressed as pterodactyls having sex.
I gotta point out, in some bar games where teams get registered, my favorite teams I've ever seen were for beer pong, two girls, 10 cups.
Nice.
Marvelous.
For like the, what's the... Like the Mario board game shit.
Mario Kart? Or are we talking Paper Super Mario Party or what?
Yeah, one of those.
Like Mario Party?
Yeah, one of those. Was two girls, one up.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect for Mario Party.
End of list. Those are the best team names I've seen for anything.
Two girls, 10 cups is my favorite. Yeah, that's fantastic.
I'd seen two girls, one up as a team name, but I'd never heard two girls, 10 cups. That's a great team name. Man, I miss playing beer pong. Real beer pong. The one where you drink the cup.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
There is a rule.
There is a hair and some fucking dirt.
You drink it.
You just drink it.
Yeah.
You know why? That's why when that ping pong ball bounces off the table, you grabbing it. You're not letting it hit the ground.
Not if you can help it.
Just give it a quick rinse. And, you know, it doesn't matter because after we drink these, we're stacking them all together anyway and then unstacking them and doing it again.
That's why occasionally.
Have a little water cup to pretend like this ball's a little cleaner.
That's to get like the chunks off of it.
Yeah. Well, just the same as that's why occasionally at some point in the night, the Southern Comfort round of beer pong happened because the drunkest drunk people knew we're making the cups clean again. The alcohol is helping reduce.
Maybe we just need to like have a soiree with some real fucking adults and play proper beer pong.
It's been a long time.
Well, if that happens, then I'm going to have at least one game of Waterfall or Circle of Death, however you like to call it.
Why not?
Because that's just a classic game.
Yeah, it's been a minute. It really has been. God. And we used to play those all the time,
kick
too.
Kick things off with some Circle of Death. Yeah, it's been too long.
Yeah.
I think the only reason it stopped is because it got old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did get stale.
It did. Yeah, because we were doing it over and over and over just to kick things off. And when do you think the last time was that we played a little Circle of Death?
5 years is my guess.
Yeah.
Are you sure 5 years ago was 2019?
It feels like a decade ago.
A decade ago is 2014.
That might have been it.
Are you sure we were even doing it then? I feel like it might have been 2009.
I know I've played beer pong and Power Hour within the last 7 years.
I would
possibly
say
last six.
I would say we almost for sure. What great English that was. 2012. because that would have been my last year of undergrad, and I know we played some shit then still.
No, you, we lived together the law school days. There was games there.
Oh, that's true.
But was a Circle of Death?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was living there. There was Circle of Death.
Okay, so 2012 is what we're looking at?
No, that would have been 2015.
That's up to Trump.
2015?
16 even.
16?
Yeah.
8 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a long time. A long time since we kicked off those. I haven't even had a beer in like 5 years. All right.
Okay, come on. When was the last time anyone played, Drunk Ass Risk?
Which Risk?
The
Risk Legacy?
The proper Risk, where you can... Where you're playing against each other over more than one game.
Risk Legacy.
There's multiple ones, but yeah.
Risk Legacy, last time was with you guys.
Yeah, and how long ago was that?
I don't know, but I won a lot.
I feel like that was just an era.
It was. It was a great era. That's all,
I think that was also the same time. I think that was like 8 years ago.
Yeah, that was when we played all the drinking games.
It was in that vicinity. I remember dropping in for at least a couple of those Risk games where we're listening to like the vinyl record of Taylor Swift 1989.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
like
it was awesome.
Over and over and over, and everyone was loving it.
Yeah. Because weren't you like the last person left in college?
Yeah.
I think that's what it requires for these things to occur normally is that aspect.
That record, by the way, is obnoxious on vinyl because it definitely wasn't made with vinyl. Because, you know, vinyl is like, if you're pushing it on sound quality, like 20 minutes aside, but really like you want a little less than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you're looking at, ideally, your record is like 36, 38, maybe 40 minutes.
Okay.
And I think that record is like 50-ish minutes. So it's too much to fit on one disc. But it's also like not that much over to the point that on the two discs and four total sides it's on, like one of the sides had three songs.
Yeah.
And it's just like 12 minutes next side.
Yeah.
And shit like that. And so it's, instead of flipping a disc every 15 plus minutes, it was like every 10, 12 minutes.
Basically, they could have put one more song on each side and they decided to just make it a little bit bigger on the second record, like the second disc.
Well, it's just kind of like, how do you chop that up when you're basically talking about, you've got 12 minutes too much.
Right.
And 12 minutes is like, On a 10-inch record, that's an ideal amount of time. We're talking about 12-inch records.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be like, you could run the speed at 45 RPMs instead of 33 and get higher sound quality.
Sure.
I don't know if that was the case because I didn't know shit about records then and I wasn't the one flipping them.
Sure.
That's usually what winds up happening, but there's still a lot of dead space.
All I know is it got a group of five-ish grown men to really love Taylor Swift. We became Swifties that summer.
I'm still not a Swiftie, over and over, okay? And over.
You're a Swiftie. You're just in denial.
No. It's one is not a Swiftie for thoroughly enjoying what is as close to objectively as possible, like one of the best pop records of the last decade.
Like the record is a super banger.
Yeah, it's just an amazing pop record.
It's up there on that amazing level of Third Eye Blind self-titled, like just this album that is just
good.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty apt comparison.
Just this album's just amazing.
That was a great that was such a good fucking,
because I don't particularly enjoy any record Taylor Swift put out prior to that, and I like some stuff on Reputation and then like a track or two here or there after it. So like I don't even like two full records worth of Taylor Swift stuff.
What was the Kings of Leon record that was amazing? It came out the same year as Eminem's Relapse and Recovery 1.
I don't remember what the fuck it was called.
Like Through the Night or Only by Night or some shit.
Was that the one that has the song with it? Da 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 da. I don't know.
I was like, dude, that was five notes. I don't know.
I'm figuring that's Kings of Leon. Five notes.
Five
notes.
There's the diss right there.
You think I recognized it?
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I knew.
Mm-hmm. I did not
look at their music again.
No,
it's that's
don't
the
ruin this for me.
I'm pretty sure it is Only by Night.
Fucking love it. I love that record. That was,
that's
such
okay.
Fun
you
one.
Can love it, but I'm gonna make fun of I things because that's
I
my
think
job.
Darth Zero, the song that you were doing was Cornerstone.
Possibly, I admit I do not know the name of the song.
I mean, the banger on that one was Closer or Closer. I don't know which
Closer.
Way it was. Yeah. The don't
just keep doing it for me.
Nothing.
Okay. This is really doing it for me.
You can tell how tone deaf I am, at least. Yeah, there's that. Or my complete inability to mimic anybody.
I mean, I used to be pretty good on
close
that
enough.
Old school show that was a Name That Tune.
Yeah.
I wasn't as good as like the three-noter ones, but I can usually name a lot of tunes in that in short order.
I felt like almost embarrassed flipping through TikTok. And there was some guy about to like put a record on. He's like, I'm going to show you one note. Can you name the band? And he did it. And I could. I was like embarrassed that I could.
If they did Kanye Runaway, I'll get it. One note. 100% of the time.
It was like okay. The first note challenge of accepted. Muzzle by Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that too.
Which is not a hit. It's like track 12 on one of the discs of Melancholy or something. And I'm just like, fuck.
I am a super fan.
No, that's past super fanning when you do that. That's
I can't even say I'm a super fan of the Pumpkins, though. Yeah, they have so many records that are just bad.
It's past super fan. Super fanning is the diehard love of the thing. There's just a point where you know this. You just know the music.
Yeah, I started listening to Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness age 10.
Nice.
I can picture guitar hand movements for zero in my head, and I can't play guitar.
Yeah.
It's that just burned into my mind.
I probably learned how to play in all the years I've played guitar, which is about as many years, like 5 or 6 Smashing Pumpkins songs beginning to end, and I think I've only learned like maybe 11 songs beginning to end.
Now, Lord okay. Rictus, you described yourself as tone deaf. Don't you play piano?
Yeah. I just can't sing.
So, but this is where I want to go with this. So you play piano.
Yeah.
What do you hear in your head versus what sounds that you make with your voice? Like, how are they different in your head? Are you just not able to match up to it?
I can't match it at all. No, I can hear perfectly what it sounds like in my head. And then I try to speak and like, it does not work.
Interesting.
It never lines up. And I'm always disappointed.
I mean, there's certainty though. Like when you hit middle C on a piano, that's always what it is.
Unless it's provided super out of tune.
Yeah, provided it's in tune. But if it's super out of tune, whatever it is, when you hit it the second time, that's what it'll be as well.
That's fair.
You know, like, that's not how the voice works.
No.
There's no middle C key.
I wish I could tune my voice the way it's supposed to be, but no. We missed that window of time.
So how do you make voices? I've heard you do voices. Do you think of it and have to work it out in your head, or is it just roll the dice and hope it happens?
How do I live my life?
Okay, so roll the dice.
What a silly question.
It's like, what do you mean?
Silly question.
Honestly, plan?
You know, I should have seen it coming. Like, how does your mind work? Oh, exactly how your mind operates. No variation.
How do I live my life? What an answer.
Everything is exactly that way, right?
Do you plan it?
You know,
nay.
Like total
plan like a goblin.
High five for you, because like I should. That's so obvious. I just completely missed that. That's
ready, fire, aim. Let's go.
I really, really appreciate. The credit you gave me by making the other one an option.
Just, yeah, I
feel like that's
the egg is on my face right now. That is,
it's all right, it's on my life. So that's, you know.
So the egg is on my face is kind of like interesting slang in some circles, you know?
Oh?
Egg is a slang term for like someone who's trans but hasn't figured it out yet.
Oh, really?
So the egg is on my face takes on a new meaning then.
Hey, who wants mustache rides?
I didn't know. Oh, I get it. Because hatch. Okay.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know why egg is the term, like, because you come out of an egg. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
sure.
That's what it is.
Oh my God. No, I was already in my mind. I was thinking of an abortion clinic the moment you said different circles. I'm like, yeah, that would be a different.
that's more of the South Park direction.
Yeah.
Just kind of like how people talking about sexual positions and the vast difference between top and on top.
Yes. Yes. Welcome to English language. Very confusing to everyone else, I'm sure. Top and on top, very different things.
Very different things.
But it's funny when someone's topping, but they're being power bottomed.
Well played.
Yes.
Well played. Took me a moment. Which way, which configuration does this work in English?
There's a lot. Just imagine if it's ever, you know, penises things, just think of a reverse cowgirl and you can cover almost everything with that.
I'm just going to think of reverse cowgirl regardless.
Reverse cowgirl with different gravity situations applied.
Very different gravity situations applied, but you can cover pretty much anything based on that position.
Yeah, you really can, can't you?
Yeah.
The windows, the walls.
The sweat down them balls.
Fuck this hotel room.
Look, I'm thinking of sexual positions in like 3D, especially, and it's drapes. Fun. Imagine like a chessboard, but replacing a 3D chessboard with sex positions.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, dear listeners, answer the survey that doesn't exist. If you're going to be like really disrespecting your environment in a hotel room.
Oh, no.
What do you fuck with the curtains? Because
they don't change
we've been
them.
Hearing over and over and over curtains.
Yeah, they don't change
so
them.
Evil. And the answer's in the air filter.
The air filter?
Yeah, for the little filter. You know that little air conditioner has in there? It all pops off and open.
Sinister.
That's if you're really evil. Especially in winter.
If you're really sinister, it's like open the thing that has the batteries on the remote.
A lot of those are sealed now.
I can see why. Yeah, yeah. First person to jerk off and know it's really fucking...
No, it was because everyone kept stealing the batteries.
Okay, well, that's more practical than what costly. I would do.
And then jizzing in it.
Right. Spill it up and put it back in.
Yeah, like horrible things you could do is the old school phones, you could unscrew the bottom receiver and go into jerk into that, so when they brought up the phone, eventually it'd seep out onto Jesus them while they're talking.
It's like upper deckering a phone almost. Yeah. Okay, dear listener, if you don't know what an upper decker is... public toilets back in the day were very much like regular toilets that had a tank on top instead of just a pipe. And here's the reason why. Because, you know, you could like take a dump inside the tank of the toilet and just leave it there. And if you really wanted to take it further, you could take the refill hose that refills the tank and then just kind of balance it against the edge of the tank and put the lid back on so that the flush immediately sprays water at someone who's probably sitting down. And then as they freak out and try and adjust it back in, they have the opportunity to plunge their hands into poopy water.
See, it is horrible. And there were a lot of these things back in the day. Now, an interesting part is many of them don't exist now because of modern technological advancements.
One gas station I went to, you couldn't upper decker them just because they had like
chains. They put clamps on it.
It was like chains and padlocks. Oh. Like, it had happened to them so many times. You could see the rage.
My favorite was the one that taped the toilet seat shut and just put the sign "all pooped out."
You mean when you put cellophane over it?
No, just like they just taped it down.
See, that's just begging people to shit on top of the toilet.
Yeah, like, if you did the cellophane, you put it over the toilet and then you put the toilet seat everything down. So if someone's just generally picking up and not paying attention, it's usually guys, if they're just going to piss, might notice it. But most people are probably going to sit down and stuff.
And nail themselves.
Yeah, because they're just pissing onto themselves. And even though, if you're standing there, you piss on it, you might get some bounce back if you didn't notice it was there.
That's true.
Some of the like, you know, like a toilet in a basement, sometimes it'll be like really cold because of the water in it. Like cold enough for Jell-O to solidify.
Jesus.
Let's see.
Oh, man. What a fun
life
it's
been. There were so many toilets jello'd in my high school. wow. Cornstarch was a pretty common attack for those, too.
God.
I took part in none of these things, of course.
I want to remind everyone in the
amazing I didn't.
Video
I really
game
didn't.
South Park Stick of Truth when you... have your character go into a bathroom and approach a urinal, you can enter a sub game where you try and take a dump in the urinal.
That's awesome.
Well played, South Park, always.
Yep. And it wasn't that game. It was the game after it where you can set the difficulty level on a game.
Yeah.
And it was attached to skin tone.
Okay.
So easiest level was like super white and hardest level was very black.
Wow.
For game difficulty.
Wow. Really went for it there. Well played, South Park.
Gotta go full out on those jokes.
I mean, honestly, this is the beauty. Any game, I wish video games would just hire them as consultants. You know what I mean?
There's been some, I haven't really had the chance to fuck with them, but I've been hearing some amazing shit about video games from the last year, like Baldur's Gate 3. I got to play a little bit, but I've seen...
Yeah, video games have come...
Gameplay. Like, yeah, Elden Ring, I've seen some gameplay of it. It looks insane.
Well, you know, if Magic ever completely kicks the bucket for me, I'll probably just buy a video game system.
and have that as my like out.
You can just do it on your computer. There's no, like, if you are going to keep a good computer, there's almost no point in having a console.
Yeah. True, because Steam gives you everything you want.
Mm-hmm.
There is that, yeah. And I have gotten to mess with, the new Spider-Man game. I got to mess with that because kiddo wanted it. Sure. And that was, the graphics were just astounding, as was the gameplay. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, God, I'm so used to Mario Kart and GoldenEye. I feel so old right now. Like, it looks like you're playing a movie. You know what I mean? Like, you're just kind of moving around in a movie universe and doing whatever the fuck you want.
When I want my video games, I go back to my, oh no, it's 8-bit, man. I go back to my basic Nintendo stuff. That's still my favorite times of video games. Like, that was, it needs to be no better than that for me.
I mean, the playability of some of those old ones was just really high.
Fucking
because
Dragon
the graphics
Warrior
sucked.
And shit, I could play that thing all the way through and it's fun.
I've still gone back and replayed like Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, Wizards and Warriors?
Yeah.
That game was so hard.
I think my video game era was from like maybe 2008 through maybe 2014.
Yeah.
Like all that time in school. Cause that was like, I had two different Xbox systems and across that time I got to play Gears of War as a new game. I got to play, what was the super crazy martial arts one?
Mortal Kombat?
No. It was like really difficult. It was just nonstop. It was like some crazy ninja shit that has a really cool name that I don't remember. And it sounds super Japanese. Where there's like, eventually it's like monsters and werewolves and all kinds of shit. That game was so cool. You're like running on walls and you have to perform a bunch of ninja maneuvers.
Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden, yeah.
Yeah, yep. I remember hitting the death stick and watching you do that for a while.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden was so sick. And it was totally replayable because you could beat the game, but then you have all the weapons that you gradually accumulate and they're all so cool. You don't have to know combos. You can just button mash if you really want to and put it on easy, which is what I did.
Yes.
Interesting point. That one was programmed, I think, the first Ninja Gaiden, where if you followed a certain plan, like beat of music, and you did your jumps and your button pushes to it, you can just beat the whole game without looking at it.
That feels about right. Because, you know, like listening to music, kind of jamming along. But yeah, like that era also saw Bioshock.
Yeah.
Fucking Bioshock Infinite. I got to play Skyrim as a brand new game.
Yeah, my era was really the StarCraft era. And I loved it because it was like this epic space odyssey storyline combined with interesting scenarios. Like the game itself was interesting until you played multiplayer and then somebody who had way more time than you and a DSL connection beat the shit out of you.
I didn't even fuck with that shit. I just put my video games on easy and never connected to the internet.
Right. If you did that, though, with StarCraft, you got this like amazing space opera. And that was fucking sick. They had such a good storyline straight through StarCraft. Ah, good days.
I played the original Diablo.
I did that once too. It was a good time.
I traded, I think, a Mox Emerald for it.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, no, that was way worth it.
Back then.
But yeah, keep in mind, this is back then. You would trade, you know, tabernacles and stuff for pizzas.
I do remember trading off a certain number of cards for pizza.
It was wise, you know, it just was.
Yeah, it was like you had stock options to get dinner.
It wasn't like you couldn't just get more moxes.
Yeah, there was that era. Oh, man, I remember fishing lion's eye diamonds out of commons and uncommons boxes, 25 cents a piece. 2 years later, look where they went, you know?
I feel like the thing with the moxes, that kind of shit, is if you ever sold them, economically speaking, you were wrong.
Right. There was never a right time because it's still going up.
If it was 6 months ago, you were wrong. If it was yesterday, you were probably fucking wrong.
I'll give people who sold it yesterday a shot because who knows what all of the latest out of Hasbro is going to eventually do to the stock of these cards.
Right, but that's what people were saying. Like, do you really think it'll be $120 forever, man, for a fucking card?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it always seems that way in the moment that there's this, once the past has happened, we have that certainty.
Captain
while we're
hindsight.
Riding the wave of the present.
You got to remember, there was a time when it was like, oh, Berserk being $50, yeah, that card's always going to be super expensive. And looking at going, let's say, Library of Alexander, going, nah, that's probably never going to go up again. It's at 40, 50.
Yeah. Yeah. once upon a time, Snapcasters. Once upon a time, Snapcasters were super expensive, too. I don't know that they're, like, cheap, but they're not, like, $120 anymore.
They're probably, like, $4.
I don't know.
They've seen a lot of reprints.
Yeah.
With a lot of different art. I can think of, there's the original art. There's the first like alternate art that was in a master's set that was like really colorful with some African looking dude.
It was also a promo you could win with PPTQs, if I remember correctly. Or an RPTQ thing. I remember it was a tournament prize with an altar.
And then there's another one from another master's set that's like mostly dark blue colors with some creepy looking guy.
Yeah.
And there may have, like, that has to have been in a secret lair fucking somewhere.
Okay, fair. It's gonna, yeah, it's almost certainly.
Well, actually, let's what do you think is the over under on individual different printings of Snapcaster Mage? I think the over under's got to be like 6 or 7.
I'd put it around 5 or 6, so yeah.
That sounds reasonable.
I think we're at about 5 or 6.
Okay, so what would you take then?
I'd take the over on 5 or 6.
What about you, Zero?
I'll take the 5 or 6 straight. I don't go over under, I'll say it's 5 or 6.
Well done.
Is the over 5 or is it 6?
The over is 6.
I'll take the under.
I'll take it on 6.
All right, dear listener, in real time, you get to watch us figure this out.
We are the most
printing.
No one on any podcast has ever done a thing like this before where they just look up information and then tell people about it. We have broken the barrier.
Yeah, well, you're not supposed to fact check on podcasts. You're supposed to just make claims and move on.
Damn it all.
But what is it?
Alrighty.
Okay.
So we have Snapcaster Mage in Innistrad. We have Snapcaster Mage in Modern Masters 2017. It is also in Ultimate Masters, Ultimate Box Toppers, Shadows of the Past. 5 exactly.
Ooh.
Well played.
It's a lot of snappies. What do they cost then, since you got it right there?
I was on Gatherer. They don't give you pricing.
They probably don't even have every version. That's why you got to look at Scry for
it. It's between $13 and $40, depending on the version.
Hey, it still carried over $10 value. Nice.
Yeah.
What up?
But it's no longer $120.
Yeah. But that you knew that wasn't going to sustain that. That was a crazy bump up.
Yeah. How much do you think Shelly's going to be in 5 years?
Shelly?
Yeah.
5 to 10.
You think it'll drop that hard?
Why wouldn't it?
Well, it's 100 right now.
Okay. If it goes out of standard, what decks is it in now?
A lot of EDH ones.
Rakdos Midrange Pioneer.
Okay, so Rakdos Midrange. So you might have 2. So if that was a very popular... Sometimes,
Doomsday Vintage.
Yeah, sometimes you play it in
maybe
Vintage.
Maybe has one.
Sometimes maybe. You play it in Vintage.
But like, it's a maybe of one in Vintage. Like, it's not a card that people are going to want more than 1 or 2 of.
Fair point.
But it's a card with a very high price memory.
Price memory, now that's a term.
But I mean, that's fucking real. Like, there'll be cards that'll be like $60 all year.
Yeah.
Like, and then just be inapplicable the minute they rotate out, and it'll take their price forever to drop.
Karn. Karn took a long time to go down.
Which Karn are you talking about?
Liberated.
Which one's that?
7 mana.
Oh, okay.
Granted, it was in Tron, but like, it took a long time for that to go down. And that got reprinted too, I think.
It was a good card.
I'm thinking more like...
It was a very good card.
Like Goldspan
Why would
Dragon?
It go down?
Alrun's Epiphany?
No, Alrun's Epiphany got cut down faster because it got a ban.
And it got a reprint. In some weird Commander Secret Lair thing.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was after it was banned.
Yeah, the ban really tanked that one. You're right.
And it was just immediately demonstrable. There's no speculating, like, what are we going to do with it in older formats? It was banned in Standard. It wasn't used anywhere else.
Yeah.
But, like, Goldspan just sat around getting more and more expensive of being, like, one of the only good cards and a mythic rare from that Cold Snap, whatever it was, set, the Ice set, whatever it was.
Oh, Kaldheim?
Kaldheim, right.
Yeah.
And I think when it left Standard, it stayed at, like, $40 for an unreasonably long amount of time. Because numerously we were looking at it to put it in the cube, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because
we
it's
were.
Perfect for the cube. In fact, it was too expensive as of this year for sure then because it didn't go in.
Right. Every time we check the price and every time we wonder why.
Right. It was probably like over $10.
It's not good in any... If it was like...
Commander? Is that why?
Yeah. Dragon.
That's what I
People
figured.
Love their dragons.
Sure. But like the price point there, it's just...
It's a mythic dragon.
Yeah, I can't believe it stayed at 40. That's
it makes me think that like maybe some of these places are just like holding them and refusing to bring the price down, and people are like, well, I'm not gonna then.
Yeah, I think that happens to a fair amount.
Yeah, then we're just like in a stalemate where copies aren't moving.
It's a full standoff.
Well,
I love it.
Think about it. Somebody else put them out there for reasonable price. Those sold, and the people left when they're like, I don't want to take a loss on this.
Yeah.
No, right, because of the price memory.
It's just like,
that's how I approach crypto. Buy in way too high, lose it all, refuse to sell. Not today.
Buy in way too high, panic sell when it goes down, buy back in when it comes up.
Don't talk to me about the millions I lost in Doge. I was there for the Elon Musk. Was there when he ruined it on SNL.
He didn't ruin it.
Yes, he did. He literally went on there and said the one thing to tank it all. Yeah, I don't know why people are buying this. This is a joke coin. All he had to do was say, you know what, we're going to accept it for some Tesla vehicle, and it would have cracked fucking $5.
Was that like the beginning of the mainstream of like looking at Elon Musk and going, wait a fucking minute?
It was for me.
Because I mean, like his opinions were moving markets at that time.
Yep.
And then he just showed up and was like, yeah, it's bullshit after hyping it and hyping it and hyping it.
I know. And it sucked so much because I was going to make a lot of money if it went
up. It's where you realize that, hey, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The man that used a joint to buy back Tesla. Well played. Asshole, though. Who knew smoking weed on Joe Rogan's show could like change the ability to buy back your company?
Like, it gives you superpowers, man. If you smoke on Rogan's show, you gain superpowers.
Apparently.
That's how it works.
Tank the price of Tesla air, long enough for him to buy it back.
There's LSD in the water. There's DMT.
Once you smoke
and the
weed on
kumquats,
Rogan, you'll never fact check again.
Yeah, I was like, you enter the Twilight Zone.
You
where
might
things
be wrong,
are slightly
you might
different.
Be right, but you'll fucking know you're right.
Well, now he's starting to go into we might need Christianity back. So, all right, Rogan, bye bye.
Nah.
Yeah, saw a whole quote sequence about how we need the morals of the Christian church back, and I'm like,
so no.
He's hitting the back end of his 50s, and now he's scared of dying.
Or he's running out of like topics.
There could be that too. I mean, like, that podcast has been running for a decade plus, hasn't it?
I can't keep up with the new ideas because they're like, there's more logic to them. So let's run back in history, everybody.
You know, we can't just start saying whatever we want about people. Alex Jones got that way. So now we got to do
whatever,
it the other
they're
way.
Back on X now.
Are they?
Yeah, they got unbanned.
Why? Oh, Musk. Right. Why am I even asking? Musk. Fucking course. God damn it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Well, that's fine. If we didn't talk about Elon Musk, this legally would not be a podcast.
It is a rule. So.
Now it's your definitive authority on all things Musk. Which is to say, fuck the billionaires, kill the rich.
I think Musk, it makes me think of must ask. Musk.
Axe?
Must ask.
Musk ask? What?
Must ask.
Who's on first?
What?
But Musk. It's like the combination of those
words. Yeah, this is the death sticks. Who's on first?
Who's on first?
Musk what? Ask what?
Must. M-U-S-T. Ask. A-S-K. It's fucking simple.
So I learned there's a whole genre of music called scrams.
What's up?
Oh, no.
There's a whole genre of music called scrams.
Okay. What's scrams?
S-K... R A M Z scrams.
Love the spelling. What's it mean?
It's like screamo mixed with hardcore, from what I can tell.
Isn't screamo hardcore?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, okay. I always put the two together in my head.
I'm not claiming to really understand this shit.
Okay.
I know how the definitions interact, I guess.
So screamo and hardcore. What do I get if I mix in circus?
Because
that sounds cool.
Yeah, that does sound cool. I think you just get more interesting shit. Like, you're talking about like using Mr. Bungle as a salt shaker here, and I support that.
Doug Stanhope's brain. That's what you get. A little screaming. It's a little hardcore. And yet, the circus music plays.
Bet Doug's brain is real soft these days.
You wear galoshes to slosh through some Jaeger areas. You're like,
he put a pummeling on that brain his whole life. I bet that brain's real soft these days.
Yeah, it's not great. It's like he's still funny, but he's not sharp. You know what I mean? Once upon a time, he was really sharp. Those were good days.
I wonder if that's going to get set up. Yeah, where he is just going to get wheeled up there and act like he doesn't know where he is and be like, Jägermeister.
I fucking
come
hope
on,
so.
Champ. And
I fucking hope so. I will go to a show if he's still doing it in his 80s.
Does he run that as a bit, you know?
Yeah, if he does that as an opening part.
If he came back, if he was back here in Iowa, we'd go see
him. Yeah, for real. I mean, don't care what phase in his, unless he enters like the Kanye West, I love Hitler phase of his career, I will go see Doug Stanhope.
Yeah, it's just, it was a good show. And it's just funny.
The last one we saw live was phenomenal. That was great.
Long ago.
Well, he was doing what I really liked. I really liked about Doug Stanhope is when he did his show, everybody was there for Doug, but he'd always bring out new comedians. And like, they would kind of suck, but he'd work with them on it. You know what I mean? Like, he was actually trying to work with getting their flow down, and he'd rescue them if it got really bad. But I like that, you know, like it's just not something you see on the comedy circuit. Usually they're pretty fucking cutthroat with each other.
Also,
it is cool that he did some mentoring.
You don't get to usually build a pyramid at the feet of the person performing for
you.
That
was awesome. No regrets. That pyramid was amazing. He was entertained by it.
We didn't keep setting Jaeger shots down there for any particular purpose.
He was very entertained by it, as were we.
We were probably the drunkest people in
the
building.
We were definitely the drunkest people. They were not happy about that, the rest of the people. Because we just kept pushing one of us back through the crowd to go get more drinks and come all the way back to the front.
Maybe that's the calling that brings people to podcast in the post-20s years is, again and again, you were the drunkest people in the building. Again and again, people were upset about it. Again and again, you laughed.
I mean, that
and again and again, you were right.
That does describe at least a decade of my life, yes.
I was an idiot then, and I'm an idiot now.
Yeah, you gotta you gotta have a hefty dose of fucking idiot. Yeah. I feel like.
Oh yeah, the reckless must run strong. And I'm here for that, frankly. The recklessness is why to live. Yes, more recklessness.
Stay stupid, America. See you later.
Upper Decker.